So yesterday we discussed verse number 4 where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions خلق الإنسان من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين. Allah created man from a drop of sperm, then behold, he becomes an open disputant. We explained that after talking to us about how in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the sustaining of the heavens and earth, you can see the greatness of Allah and the oneness of Allah. Allah then talks to us about looking at ourselves. In another verse of the Quran, Allah instructs us, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, that don't you look at your own self and take lesson. You started off from a lifeless drop of liquid, and look at you now. You can walk, you can talk, you can think, you can strategize, you can articulate, you can communicate, you can argue, to the point where sometimes you even start arguing with Allah, you even start disputing with Allah. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect us. And we concluded yesterday also by making a reference to a similar kind of point which Allah makes towards the end of Surah Yasin. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ. Does man not see we created him from a drop of sperm, which is impure, which has no life? فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ, and then he wants to become an open arguer. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا, and he wants to give examples to us. وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَ, and he forgets that his own creation. Giving examples to us, meaning that, you know, they want to say, look at these dead bones. How can it be resurrected? You're talking about life after death. But if Allah created you from a lifeless drop of sperm, and you've become what you are, then why can't Allah recreate you from decomposed bones? So Allah says here that don't forget your origin and don't become arrogant that you want to dispute with Allah. Now, moving further, here Allah is highlighting to us the categories of things that we need to look at wherein we will find a manifestation of the oneness and the greatness. Two things. The oneness and the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So verse 5, Allah says, وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا, the cattle he created for you. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ, in them there is warmth. وَمَنَافِعٌ, and numerous benefits. وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ, and some of them you eat. So in cattle, you find Allah's creation, or signs of Allah's creation. Allah created the camel. Allah created the cow. Allah created the sheep. Allah created the goat. From the hairs or the wools, you get blankets, warmth, you get tents, shelter, different types of garments, protection against the cold and the elements. Then from some of the cattle, you drink milk. You use the cattle for plowing purposes. You derive ghee, butter from these animals. High quality and expensive goods are manufactured from their skins. The flesh of the animal is consumed. It satiates your hunger. There are many, many byproducts. That's why Allah says, manafi', numerous benefits. And Allah doesn't elaborate and enumerate all of the benefits. Then in verse 6, Allah explains further, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. In them there is honor for you when you bring them in the evening after grazing and when you take them for grazing. Meaning, when the cattle and animals are in their enclosure or they disappear into the fields, the bounty of Allah is not manifest so is not displayed so manifestly. But when they're leaving and when they're coming in big numbers as a farmer, as the owner, you look at them, you get great delight. And even if you're not the owner, you're not the farmer, just seeing that spectacle of a big number of animals moving. Sometimes you're driving on the road and there's a whole herd, you know, moving across. It's something that brings delight to the eyes. It's a great bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And they generally move in the mornings and the evenings. And then verse 7, Allah says, وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِيهِ إِلَّا بِشِقِّ الْأَنفُسِ. They bear your loads to cities which you would not have reached except with great difficulty. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. Surely your sustainer is extremely kind and extremely merciful. So, in those days, especially, and even to an extent today, I mean, there are some areas where you can't just maneuver with a car or even a truck or even a bucky or even a tractor. You need an animal. There are still some animals, there are still areas like that. And these animals help you. They transport your heavy load and your goods. Even till today, maybe not as often as before, but even till today, you still see donkey carts, right? When I was growing up in Marikana, it was quite a normal thing. They'd pull up outside my nana's shop and they'd do their shopping, put it in the back and off they would go. But I see from time to time. So you, sometimes you see them on the road also with this is the kindness of Allah, that Allah has placed these animals at our service, and Allah has permitted us to utilize them and make many of our difficult tasks easy. And in other verses of the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes reference to this. So on the same theme, Allah then says in the next verse, وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ. Allah created horses and mules and asses for you to ride. وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And He creates that also which you do not know. You ride them, you know. You ride a horse, your honor, your status is displayed. The riding of asses was not considered undignified by the Arabs, because they were very valuable, they were beautiful, they were swift, and they were very useful. But apart from these animals, there are many other animals which Allah has created that you are not even aware of at present. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said that, you know, the wording of these verses which we are discussing today is such that it can include even other modern innovations that have got to do with animals, that are rooted in animals, either as a byproduct or, you know, as a service that we derive from animals. Then the last verse, and also then the concluding verse of this ruku, Allah says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ قَصْتُ السَّبِيلِ وَمِنْهَا جَائِرٌ. To Allah does the straight path reach, and there are some paths that are crooked. وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Had He willed, He would have given the straight path to all of you. We'll tie this verse up with the preceding verses, inshallah, tomorrow, as we kind of wrap up the tafsir of the first ruku of Surah An-Nahl. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the ability